Please turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. 2 Peter 3, verses 8 through 13. And I want to, did you notice who's coming next week? Who's coming next week? We have Donkey that's going to be here next week. Now, I think Palm Sunday was my first Sunday here last year. And I was like, my goodness, this is amazing. I mean, how many churches have a live donkey shown up on Palm Sunday? Well, it's going to happen again. And we have Jesus all set up. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be fun. So invite your friends, older, younger. And this is all about celebrating our King who has come. And so invite your friends and we'll have a good time together. Also, you notice that there's a grounds cleanup day in the morning. There's an Easter egg hunt in the afternoon, a grounds cleanup. Steve Collier, welcome back, our head trustee. And, you know, he's had quite a winter here. And so we want to get a crew out. He won't be able to be out there, but let's make him proud and make Jesus proud. And let's get out there and clean up, especially those of us who might not be Easter egg people. Maybe we'd be grounds cleanup people and scurry around. Many hands make light work and clear the ground to sit out the Easter eggs. So anyway, and more. So anyway, please keep your Bibles open to that. And Dan Van Howe, my favorite track coach, is going to come and talk to us about a particular track event. I think I'm saying that correctly. See that?
Easter's better.
That's all right. We'll wait till April 3rd. And then we'll decide. Anyway, how many of you have ever run the 10,000 meters? Yeah. Besides my wife. Gus, 10,000, 6.2 miles on the track. Most people don't even watch the 10,000 meters. If they start it on television, they always go to commercial. And then they pop back in and then they go to commercial again. And then they pop in and go. Anyway, the 10,000 meters usually starts on a Saturday morning. It's usually run on college level. And the 10,000 meters is the first race of the day, 9 o'clock in the morning. It's cold. It's usually cold. Matter of fact, next Saturday there's a race. And one of my college kids is running the 10,000 meters. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. There might be 5 people in the stands. And the starter says, "Runners on your mark." There might be 20 people running. Bang goes the gun. Off they go. And nobody really pays attention to them because the 10,000 meters on the track is 25 laps. Ugh, 25 laps. So nobody cares. You know, they're going along and, "Hey, look over there. There's the long jump. Let's go look over at the long jump." So people go over and watch the long jump. And then more people start to filter in, and, "Hey, look, the pole vault. Let's go watch the pole vault. That's really cool. They fly up in the air and land on these big pits, and, yeah, let's go do that." And you know, meanwhile, they're going around and around the track, and people don't, "What's going on? Oh, that's the 10,000. Psh, no big deal." And more people are coming, and more people are coming, and now they're in about 3 miles. They're halfway through, and more people start coming, and they say, "Wow, this is, let's go over there. Let's look at those people over there. Let's go talk to, hey, Joe, what's up?" And nobody's really paying attention to the 10,000. It's just a long-distance race. Who cares? And so more and more people are coming, and more and more people coming. Now the stands are starting to filter in, and more athletes are starting to show up because the 100-meter dash is coming up. The 100-meter dash is the big, big event. Fastest man in the world. Right. Meanwhile, the 10,000 meters still going on, and people are starting to put their hurdles up and start practicing their hurdles, and 10,000 still going on. And about 20 minutes later, the 10,000 meters still going on, and 25 minutes go by, 10,000 meters still going on. Oh, look, hey, it's the last lap. Hey, it's the last lap. Now people start going on to the fence. Go, John. And they all get excited. "Look, it's going to be a close finish. Come on, finish. And woo, they finished. And that's the 10,000 meters. Nobody cares until the end.
And that's the way that the return of Christ is going to be. He was predicted it a long time ago. and nobody will care until the end. It'll happen quickly. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends, this one thing. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The early church, when Peter wrote, was nearing persecution. Nero was about to come on the scenes. He would set fire to the city, blame all the Christians, they would run for their lives. So the heat was almost literally starting to rise there in Palestine. But Peter himself was getting near the end of his life. And he writes to the Christians and has some things to say to them, kind of his final words to them with the heat rising around them. And so in this second of his letters, he writes to them in chapter 1. He says, I want you to keep growing. Keep growing in the word. Keep growing in the word. And then in the second chapter, he says, beware of false teachers that are coming and saying that Jesus is someone whom he was not. And then finally, in this chapter, the final chapter as we read it in his letter, he says, I want you to keep motivated. Be motivated because Jesus is indeed coming. That final lap is about to occur. Now, the Lord has patiently delayed the coming of his day, the day of the Lord. But Easter reminds us that its quick arrival ought to be a motivation to us to live holy and godly lives. And we see that in these verses by what we see about the pace of the Lord, the Lord's time frame, and then the speed of his day. We begin by thinking about the pace of the Lord, the way that the Lord moves in what we call time. He operates according to a different time frame. In fact, he is not limited by space and time. You probably heard that Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds the world has ever known, died over the last week or so. And maybe you also heard that he had set up a party at one time, and he cooked up some refreshments. He printed up some invitations, and he didn't send out the invitations because he had this inkling that there was more to time and space than what human beings typically experience. And so he thought that if time was beyond what we experience, that if he set up a party, that somebody might show up because some future time frame, people in some future eon might know that the party had happened and they might show up. But of course they did not. Stephen sat there alone and enjoyed his cookies and milk or whatever he had prepared. Now, Stephen Hawking, one of the greatest minds that the world has ever known, was right in his inkling that there is more to time and space than what we as human beings conceive of, at least most of us. There is more to it, but he was wrong in the idea that we can understand it, because we can't understand the mind of God, because God is eternal. God is all at once in eternity past and in the eternity present and in eternity future. He said to Moses, when he revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, he said, I am. What's your name, God? My name is I am. Not I will or I was, but I am that I am. I'm always in the present. I'm always here and always was and always will be. The prophet Daniel in Daniel chapter 7, he said he called him the Ancient of Days. The one who always, always, always has been. The one who never had a beginning. When Paul went to Athens with some of the greatest minds of his day, declared the God of eternity to be the one who sets boundaries for our lives. He sets us in time so that we can get around. We'd be very confused without time, but he is the one who has no bounds within time because he is eternal. Or we think of Revelation chapter 5, where John saw a vision of what is to come. And he started in exasperation saying, who is out there to open the scroll that would reveal all that is to come? And finally, it was the Lamb of God, the only one that was worthy to open the scroll, because it's only the Lamb of God who is eternal, who always was, who always is, who always will be. But because he is above it all. He exists in a time frame that is beyond time, that is eternal, that is beyond what we can ever understand. Those track meets, there are stopwatches. And if you see a coach like Coach Van Hau, and they've all got a stopwatch. Sometimes they got a whole string of stopwatches around, a whole bunch of them around their necks, and they're going according to seconds and I suppose milliseconds, is it? And minutes and hours, and I don't know how maybe they can go days and weeks. I don't know how long those things go. They're a lot fancier than I ever thought of having. But the Lord is not bound by those times. He doesn't need a whole bunch of stopwatches around his neck, because he is always, everywhere, all the time, eternity past, eternal future, and in the present, he's not bound by those time frames. He's everywhere all at once. But on the other hand, he's not bounded in thousand-year increments. There are those, even in our day, who've taken this and said, well, okay, so 1,000 years with the Lord is like one day. So let's see here. So let's figure out when Jesus is going to come back. Well, if we say, well, maybe he'll come back in the time frame of the creation. And so if we say 1 year is 1,000 years, so let's figure out when we think that maybe the world began 7,000 years back or so. Well, man, it's getting close to that. Maybe the Lord's going to come back this year. And they set up an elaborate scheme, and they write books, and they have TV shows, and some of them even in our day, but some that go past, and all kinds of people predicting exactly when Jesus is going to come back, and Jesus said, you're not going to know. But the truth of the matter is, and some of these very well-meaning, some of them even people that we respect, that they're misunderstanding the intent, Peter's intent. He was not intending to give us a time frame. Giving correspondence to one-to-ones is not what he was talking about. The problem is that even saying that one day is 1,000 years is limiting itself to time. God is not limited by time. Instead of better to think back to the Psalms, where the psalmist said in Psalm 90, he said, you turn us back to dust, because 1,000 years in your sight is like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. It's just sped by. 1,000 years to you is nothing, he's saying. He's using it as a figure of speech, really, saying that God is not limited to time like we are. And we think of a lifespan, 1,000 years, 2,000 years, 1,000,000 years. It's all the same to God. It just speeds by, and he's not limited to the time and space like we are. It's kind of like for us and with the Lord, it's sort of like a parent and a child. And so a child goes off, say they're going off to Hershey Park. And you get in the car and you say, well, how long? They say, well, how long till we get there? I say, well, about a half an hour. They say, well, how long is that? And you say, oh, yeah, you don't know how to tell time. So you try and think of something that will work for them. And you might say, well, it's like a Sesame Street program or a SpongeBob program. Maybe SpongeBob has got problems too. I don't know. kind of washed up with SpongeBob. But, you know, whatever that time frame is, and you're trying to explain to a child what they don't know how to tell time. They don't know what a minute is or an hour or a day or a year. So use something that makes sense to them. And so the Lord uses 1,000 years to try and help us to understand what's going on. But the truth of the matter is that God's time frame, God is eternal and he is far beyond us. But the time frame of the Lord is just right. It's not too slow. It's not too fast. It is just right. It's not too slow. Now, there are some in that first generation of Christians that said, you know, we've been waiting a long time now. You know, it's been several decades since Jesus left, and he's not coming back. And so he must have been wrong. We must be wrong. We must not have understood him. This is not, maybe he was just here in some spiritual sense. Maybe he's just coming back in some spiritual way. And they started spewing this kind of false teaching out there and saying, well, maybe Jesus is not coming back. There's people in this day and age, and they look at us as people who believe in the Bible, and they say, oh, yeah, right, he's not coming back. It's been 2,000 years. You guys are a bunch of Bible thumpers. You're crazy anyway. You know, what are you doing believing that? Things have just continued on as they have. Same old argument that was in the first century. And we say, well, no, we believe this book. We believe this Jesus is coming back. But sometimes in practice, if we're honest, then we kind of live like he's not coming back. You know, 2,000 years, things have gone on as I always have. We live our day yesterday like we lived the day before, and we lived the day before that. We live as if everything is going to continue on as it always has. And we deny, perhaps in practice, that Jesus is coming back. But the reason that he's coming back, Peter says, is because he's patient. And notice who he's patient with. Ouch. He's patient, it says, with us. You know, I was talking to Bob Bolton about this morning. He reminded me, Bob, you know, they were thinking about this all week long. And he said, you know, his patience with us is because we are part of his plan. His plan, he's waiting for us to get along and to be part of his plan in getting the good news out to all of the world and being the people that he has created us to be. And the interesting thing is that he's patient with us and we're impatient with others. I told you that we've got a daughter getting married this summer, and we got a list on our fridge, and there's things that she's working on. She got a dress, she's got a spat. You know, it says she's got to meet with the officiant, and that's me. And so, you know, we got to have a little meeting coming up. We've got several months to go. She's getting ready for a young man that's down in Virginia right now. And that day is going to come when she is ready to get married to that man. And the Lord is waiting for us to get ready as well. And there's a reception that's going to be held. It's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And he says, you know, I want you to get that dress ready. It looking a little crinkly. I want you to get it ironed. I want to iron things out between you. I got some things that I want you to do. I want some character traits that I want you to work on. I got others that I want you to invite into the wedding. In fact, you know, you're just wearing those old clothes. Those old clothes that you're born with. I want you to get rid of those clothes, and I want you to put on the new clothes that I have for you. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and care for one another. He wants to develop those things so that we are ready to be the bride that is worthy of our Lord to actualize in our lives what Christ has done within us. The goal that he has is that everyone would turn around. That there would be many that would turn around. And there's more that he wants to bring in. And so Jesus said in John chapter 10, he said, you know, I've got other sheep that I'm calling in. And that day was more than just the Jews of his day. Or he said, there's other Gentiles that he wants to bring in. There's Gentiles that are now in the fold. But he's got many more that he has yet to bring in. Last Sunday night, we had a wonderful time we called the Gathering. And there are Christians here from all over the area, and some of those included the Arabic Christian Church, the group that meets here on Saturday nights. And there's slides that came up on the screen. And Pastor Joe said, here's someone that came to Jesus from the Muslim faith, and another one, and another one. There's one, someone up in Harrisburg that came to the Lord, and then a brother got up, and he shared his story of coming to Jesus. And then a group got up, and they sang, and there were Arabic words, and thank our brothers and sisters. There were some English words down below them so that we knew where there's. And they were singing praise to the same Lord that we share. And they've been brought into the fold. And the Lord said, I got more than I want to bring in. Went to a Christian college, and there in the academic building was a wall listing all the missionaries that had gone out to that school, out from that school. And it was interesting as you went up the chart, there were some bubbles. There's some bubbles around the world wars, especially the Second World War. And there were hundreds and thousands of missionaries that went out from this country, that went out to Europe and to Asia and to Africa, because some of our servicemen and servicewomen had been to those areas of the world, and they saw the great need for Jesus in those areas of the world, and they came back. And God's people here had learned about those areas of the world, and they said, let's get together and let's send people out to those areas of the world. And I wonder if that's what God is doing with the Arab world right now. A few years back, I had no idea where Afghanistan or Iraq or Iran, I couldn't even tell them apart where they were, those areas of the world. And now they're on the news. They're all over the place. They're right in our face all of the time. And I wonder sometimes if the Lord is saying, wait a minute, I got more sheep that I want to bring in. I want you to think about those areas, and I want some of you to go, and I want some of you to give so that we can get the word out to those areas of the world and bring others in. The Lord is patient. He's patient in coming back. He's patient in declaring that his day has come. If he's too quick, then he would have missed some of us. He would have missed some others. But he's patient. He's waiting. He's not too slow either. Because Paul writes in Ephesians 1 that the delay, he's delaying until the times have reached their fulfillment, until he brings everything under the headship of Christ, until all of the sheep are into the fold that he is calling to himself. And the Lord's pace, but his pace is different than ours. But so is the speed of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, we learned a week or so ago, was first introduced by the prophet Amos in Amos chapter 5, verse 18. And it's a day of darkness and a day of light. A day that was dark for Amos's day. They were just thinking about what the good things that were to come. And Amos said, wait a minute. There's a time of judgment that's going to come first. And so God's people were sent off to Babylon. But there was a day of light, as they were called back. And they were hoping that they would experience all that would be promised in the promised land in Jerusalem. But they did not turn all the way back to the Lord. And so they were taken over then by the Romans eventually. And when Jesus came, they were praying again for the day of the Lord to come. And Jesus came. But as Jesus came, they didn't like what they were hearing from him. Because he was saying that there was something that was wrong with their lives, that they had not turned to the Lord. And they said they were religious, but he said, you're not following the Lord. And they put him on the cross, and he was judged for our sin. But he rose from the grave that all who believe in him might have eternal life. And so it was a dark day, but it was a bright day. And as Jesus went to heaven, his kingdom was proclaimed, and those of us who love him are part of that kingdom now. And it's a dark day because he was judged for our sins, and that kingdom is not yet. We just experience in part, and yet it is a bright day because those of us who love him and know him know the down payments of that kingdom now, and we give a preview of that kingdom that is to come, because of the day of the Lord will come like a flash. And in that day, his judgment will be declared for and enacted for all of those who deny him. But all of those who love him and have experienced salvation through his grace will experience the full blessings of his kingdom, which will last forever and ever, as he is declared to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But it'll come quickly. It's going to come quickly like a thief. while back, Maureen and I went to a Christian camp up in the middle of nowhere in Ontario, where a distance from where she's from. We went to this little Christian camp, and it was a hot day. Our windows were down. We ran into this little registration booth that was right near our car. We went in, we registered, we came out, and Maureen's purse was gone. And someone had, I don't know where they came from, hanging around the edge of that Christian camp, and they hit her purse, and all of a sudden, our credit cards were used very soon after that, like it seemed within minutes almost. They were down in the city, and they were spending our credit cards, you know, all over the place. And we called the credit card company and told them to stop it. But you know what? Maybe you've had an experience like that. When a thief hits, it's quick, it's shocking, and it's a quick change. And it's a surprise. And so it will be with the day of the Lord. It'll be quick. It'll be a surprise. And it will be a shock. And it will come all of a sudden. Maybe you've seen some of these home makeover shows. And so there's one extreme home makeover. You remember some of you seen where Ty Pennington comes in and they find a family that needs a new home. And they invite them in. And they say, hey, we're going to send you off to Disney World. And they send the family off to Disney World. And then Ty Pennington and his crew gets to work. And they make that whole house over. And then they park the bus in front of the house. And then the family comes back in a limo. And they park them in the front. And then they pull the bus away. And the family goes, wow, my goodness. And they go from room to room. And everything has been just right just for them. And maybe they got a new backyard. They got a new kitchen. They got new bedrooms. They got a new this. They got a new that. And everything is there as it was, but yet it's all made new. And that's what Peter says is going to happen to our old home here on earth. Everything's going to be like it was, but it'll all be replaced. And we won't believe it's the same place. It'll be back to the way that it's supposed to be. And that's why Peter says we ought to live holy and godly lives now. Look at verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, everything gone, everything new again, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Are you frustrated with your society right now? Are enough crazy things going on in our country to drive you nuts? Doing that to me. It's like another day, another crazy. What about at home? Nobody answer me there. You know, things kind of crazy at home right now. Maybe in our world, are there enough crazy things going on in this world right now? Isn't it wonderful just to know another day, another hour, another crazy thing going on? Do you wish for something better? I do. What if it was all soon gone? Here's what Peter says. He says that one day it will be gone. It'll all be over with what we've experienced now like that. And here's what he says. He said, number one, he said, don't worry about it too much. It's all going to be over someday. You know, if one of those families having their house made over, you know, if they knew that the next day that they were going to off to Disney and that old bathroom or that old kitchen or whatever it was all going to be over with, it's like, okay, who cares? So we have a hard time getting that sink to work. It's all going to be over with. You know what? This is all going to be done someday. There'll be some continuity, but a lot of discontinuity. It'll all be better. So Peter says, he's telling us not to worry about it too much. And then secondly, he's saying to us, live as if it's going to happen. Live as if Jesus is coming back and it's all going to be better. And thank the Lord for that. But then finally, he's saying, invite others. Invite others to be part of it. Because our motivation, verse 13, is to bring the king back to where? To our new home of righteousness. A place where everything, where Christ and all of his character and all that he has planned will be displayed. And that includes filling up the rooms of our new house. And so there's some empty rooms in this new house. And there's people from your streets and from mine that he wants to bring into the house. There's people from York that he wants to bring into the house. People from Harrisburg. People from Wrightsville. People even from across the river. You know, over on the other side of the river. He wants to bring into the house. People from the other side of the state. People from other states. People from around the world. People from the Arab world. People from the Dominican Republic and the other islands in the Caribbean that he wants to bring into the house. There's some empty rooms that are yet to be filled. He doesn't just like English there. He likes having all language groups that are praising him. People from all over the world and all across time that are giving him praise and that are filling his house. People from Africa, from Asia, from Russia, from China, another area of the world that we're hearing more and more about. And his day will come quickly. A while back, I was in Washington, D.C. And I was standing across the street from the Capitol. And all of a sudden, everything shut down. The streets were quiet. There was nobody on the streets. Everybody was standing on the streets. They were just watching the streets. The street lights were blinking. And there were things that were, there were helicopters that were flying overhead. And I said to somebody, "What is going on?" They said, "Oh," they said, "the president has a meeting in the Capitol, and he's coming down from the White House. You just watch." And sure enough, as I watched on those streets, then all of a sudden, I saw some vehicles, some police cars, some motorcycles, and finally some limousines come flying up the street. And they went right into the Capitol building. And then all of a sudden, everything came back into action. And I would bet that that Secret Service and those, the Capitol Police and who knows who else, that they probably practiced for months and for years, for decades perhaps, for moments like that when the president would come through so he would get and arrive at the Capitol and things would be ready to go. And that's what we're doing right now. We are preparing, not for the president, but for someone whose reign is forever and ever, not just for 4 years. We're preparing for his arrival. Now, he's very patient. He's waiting for everything to get ready. And Good Friday and Easter is just a dress rehearsal. It's a dress rehearsal. That's why we take the journey to the cross and we spend time preparing for Easter and for Good Friday. That's why we have these invitations, so that we can fill up the rooms, not of our house, but of his house. Take him along with you to invite others to come, because we want him to come back. We want him to come back soon. And let's live holy and godly lives, preparing for his arrival. So when Jesus came the first time in Mark chapter 1, that the gospel of action, Jesus said, "The time has come." And it had. And John said, "Okay, let's get going." And they got going, and they announced the good news, and Jesus was here for the first time. There's another time that's coming. There's a day that will be here soon, and Jesus will say, "My day has arrived." And when he comes back, we will move into his big house with brothers and sisters from across the ages and around the world. And we will live with him. And we will all join together and reign with him forever and ever. Won't you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long, how long? We've been waiting a long time, and Lord, we confess to you that we get distracted and we sometimes wonder, man, is it ever going to happen? But Jesus, how we look forward to seeing your face. We can't wait to see you, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, for ignoring our preparations. Lord, help us with our hearts and our hands and our feet and in our invites to get ready to enter your house. Lord, we can't wait till it's unveiled. Come soon, Jesus. But not until everybody's in. And Lord, help us to be among those who are ready for you to come. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Would you please stand?
Lift up your heads, pilgrims aweary. See day's approach, now crimson the sky. Night shadows flee, and your beloved, awaited with longing, at last groweth nigh. He is coming again. He is coming again, the very same Jesus, elected of men. He is coming again, he is coming again, with power and great glory, he is coming again. Dark was the night, sin weighed against us, heavy the load of sorrow we bore. But now we see signs of his coming, our hearts glow within us, don't run it though. He is coming again, he is coming again, the very same Jesus, rejected of men. He is coming again, he is coming again, with power and great glory, he is coming again. Oh, blessed hope, oh, blessful promise, filling our hearts with rapture divine. O day of days, hail the appearing, the transcendent glory forever shall find. He is coming again, he is coming again, the very same Jesus, rejected of men. He is coming again, he is coming again, with power and great glory, he is coming again. Even so come, precious Lord Jesus, creation waits redemption to see. Caught up in clouds, soon we shall meet thee. O blessed assurance, forever with thee. He is coming again, he is coming again, the very same Jesus, rejected of men. He is coming again, he is coming again, with power and great glory, he is coming again.
So that's good news. It's the hope that we share. Now, this morning, we have some pictures yet to be taken over in the, what do we call it, gymnatorium? Did I get that right? Kafna Gymnatorium. The big room over there, we have a photographer and photographer's assistant, a team over there. So we want to get your picture on the wall in the foyer so others can know you and you can know them. So if you haven't done that, or if you haven't done it in a while, then go over there and that would be great. Because you know what? We are not eternal and we have trouble knowing each other. But let's pray together. In your mind's eyes, look into the face of Jesus. Notice his hands and his feet. Notice his size. Be grateful that he gave everything for you. Be grateful that he's risen. He's conquered sin and death. Look around at all those whom he comes for. Lord Jesus, how we look forward to that day. Lord Jesus, we bow down and we worship you as we will on that day. Lord, we gather with our brothers and sisters from our church and from churches around the area and around the world and across time and in multiple languages and multiple time zones, Lord, which you can experience all at the same time. And Lord, we give you praise. And Lord, we how grateful we are to see your eyes for us, that you just can't wait to have us with you. And so, Lord, make us the kind of people that are ready to be with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.